And isn't that a beautiful picture of our salvation? Because what did we deserve? And Lord was so gracious to you. I mean, think of the consequences of the things that we've done and how He's turned those around and even made them beautiful.
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store for. In Christ.
Last time on In Christ, we saw the journey home to Jerusalem completed with trust, accountability, and worship. Today we continue in the Building Foundation series and arrive to chapter 9 of Ezra, as we go through verses 1 through 15 with the message titled, The Condition Requires Confession. After arriving in Jerusalem, Ezra learns that many of the people, including leaders, have drifted into disobedience and compromise. Instead of ignoring it or managing appearances, Ezra is deeply grieved. He tears his garment, humbles himself, and begins to pray. Ezra doesn't minimize the problem. He names it honestly before God. He remembers God's mercy, acknowledges the people's sin, and recognizes that healing can't begin until truth is faced. What we try to hide cannot be healed. When the condition of the heart is serious, confession becomes the doorway to restoration. As we go through today's lesson, today's question is tough. Is there anything in your life you've been excusing, avoiding, or covering up that God is inviting you to bring honestly before Him today? If you can, grab your Bibles and join me in Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 15, in today's title, The Condition Requires Confession. Now here's Pastor Ben.
Think about Ezra for just a moment. He just finished a dangerous four-month journey from Babylon. He's home. They should be rejoicing. I can't believe it. And all of a sudden, very quickly, the people are starting to compromise very quickly. And I mean, think about this. We just got here. What is wrong with you? I mean, we just got here. And not only that, it's the assistant pastors, it's the leadership, it's the elders. It's all you got. Listen, the foundation of the temple is finished, but we always remember the foundation of our hearts and the building of that is ongoing. It's ongoing. Church, listen, guard your heart from compromise. Guard your heart from these things because it's ongoing. It's ongoing. So what does he do? He sits down astonished. Astonished. I bet one of the reasons that Pastor Ezra sat down is he expressed in tearing, the tearing of the garment and the plucking of the beard. This was a deep, deep sign of mourning. And I bet Ezra remembered for half a second the sins of idolatry and compromise that caused the tribes of Israel to be exiled before. He was no doubt wondered how the people could endanger themselves like this again. You know how it is. I can only speak to myself, but it's those times in my life when I've committed that sin and then I did it again and the Lord reminds me, it's like, yeah, you... What did you expect? Oh, Lord. See, this is a very big deal. Now, in our culture, we simply dismiss it. But the implications are huge. You go, how so? Think about this, guys. Put on your thinking caps for a second. If the people intermarry with the Canaanites, that can and does lead to idolatry. How so? It is far easier for someone to pull me down than for me to pull you up. I mean, think about this. Sometimes we have wonderful young adults and later teens that will say, oh, I think he's the one. Well, is he a believer? No, but I'll win him to the Lord. And we call it missionary dating. And we're going to date hoping that we'll convert him to the Lord. And I got to be honest with you, more times than not, they'll pull you into the world than you'll pull them. How so? A typical Wednesday night, you go, hey, it's church time. Let's go to church. And he goes, you know what? I thought we would do this tonight. And I got us reservation at this night restaurant. And she goes, oh, okay, well, we normally go to church. Okay, well, we'll skip church tonight. We'll go because you wanted to. I love you. This is going to be great. And they'll go and they'll do that. And then the next Wednesday it comes and it's what? Hey, you ready for church? Oh, and eventually what happens is that they pull you back into the world. We need to remember that it was idolatry that caused them to be taken in the first place. Oh, we understand about not, you know, letting the land rest. And God says, this is the timeline because you didn't. But they were worshiping the God of Molech. They were worshiping the God of Astaroth. They were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping Mammon. They were worshiping all these foreign gods. And what we learn about the children of Israel is their hearts are not right even now. And they're actually moving fast in the wrong direction. But I love verse 4. Why? Because it says, then everyone who trembled at the words of God of Israel assembled to me. He said, all those people who were like-minded went, oh! And what did they do? He said, because of this transgression, they came to me and they had been carried away captive. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. Matter of fact, he's going to fast. He's sitting there. Can you imagine? And everybody's looking at him. This is our leader. What is going on? Something's not right. You see, in the community here in Israel, there were those that were horrified at the sin of their community. These who were marked by their respect for God's word assembled together with Ezra. They were the like-minded. Russell Moore wrote in his blog, what I've learned in 20 years of ministry. Here's what he said. At my ordination, an elderly deacon referenced the Bible and my wife saying, son, don't ever get in the pulpit with any other book than that one. And don't ever get into any bed with any other woman but her, unquote. Wise counsel. This is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, we were all like-minded. And Ezra is sitting there and his heart is breaking. He's going, man, we're going back. We're doing the same thing. And he had a group of people going, amen, we're with you, Ezra. We're with you. So it's a big deal. But now we have the confession. Chapter 10 is going to give us the repentance, but I want you to notice the sense of shame. Look at verse 5. He says, at the evening sacrifice, now remember, they did a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. Ezra has this torn clothes. He says, at the evening sacrifice, I arose from my fasting, having torn my garment and my robe. I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord God. Ezra knew there was a time to mourn. And he did that for a long time. He also knew that there was a time to pray. And now he would begin his prayer. Now, you got to jot this down because the rest of the chapter in this prayer is broken down into five sections. Five sections. You go, what are they, Ben? Number one, he acknowledges here in verse 7, his past sins. His past sins. That's the first thing. Then in verses 8 and 9, we're going to see his present deliverance. Then in verse 10 and 12, we're going to see he's going to acknowledge his present sins. In verses 13 and 14, we're going to see he acknowledges his deserved punishment. And then in verse 15, he's going to acknowledge the righteousness of God. All of this in his prayer. So let's take a look at this prayer. The condition requires confession. Here's what he says. And I said, okay, so he's in prayer position. Oh my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift my face to you, my God. For our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens. Do you guys see this? This is the beginning of his prayer. There's only one I. He says, I am ashamed, but he says, listen, for our. So he's acknowledging, but he's bowing down, guys, in humiliation before the Lord. His sense that the sins of the people of Israel weighed his head down so much that he could not lift his head. Your attention, please, for just a second. Sometimes, as believers, we really love the grace of God, and the grace of God is so amazing, but we forget the weight of our sin. And when we sin, amen. Lord, forgive me for my sin, and we move on. But Ezra here is reminding us that the weight of sin, the things we do, the things that we choose to do. Now, let me quickly remind you, okay? Sin is the Greek word harmatia. It's missing the mark. You with me? Transgression means you know where the line is. You don't know where the line is. You kind of accidentally step over. Oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I trespass. It's a transgression. But iniquity is where you go, I know that line. I want that line. And you step over. But all of these are the very things that put our Jesus on the cross. There are times I know I missed the mark. You go, amen, I do too. There are times I trespass. Oh, I'm so sorry, Lord, forgive me. Wow. The things that break my heart, the things that break the Lord's heart is when I go, I know this is wrong. I'm going to do it anyway. I know the Lord doesn't approve it. I know this is going to hurt me in consequence. I know. And we jump over. Ezra's feeling the weight of that. So what does he do? He acknowledges his past sins. Let's take a look. Since the days of our father to this day, we have been very guilty. And for our iniquities, there it is, guys. We, our kings and our priests have delivered into the hand of the kings and of the lands and to the sword and captivity, to plunder and to humiliation as it is to this day. He's acknowledging the past sins. He goes, man, this is who we are. And I think it's the same for us. We need to acknowledge, oh, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Ezra knew that the captivity of Israel and Judah had been a punishment from God for their sinful ways. And God had turned them over to various kings. King Nebuchadnezzar, right? The Assyrian king earlier for the 10 northern tribes. The sins of their fathers and their grandfathers were the same sins they were involved with. Now, what a great prayer. Lord, this is who we are. I feel the weight of this. But then he calls upon his past deliverance. Notice verse 8. He says, and now, for a little while, with grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a peg in his holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival in our bondage. He says, listen, in the temple, just, Lord, you're so good. We deserve so much. We deserve, and you've been so gracious to us. Even if it is a peg to hang our hats or hang our jackets in the temple, he says, and you gave us a measure of revival. Verse 9, for here's the deliverance. For we were slaves, and yet God did not forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia to revive us, to repair the house of God, to rebuild its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah, in Jerusalem. Isn't this think about this. Think about what he's saying. He says, but now, Lord, as he's praying, you've given us a brief moment of grace, and you've allowed the few of us to survive as a remnant. You brought us back. You've actually given us security in this place. Our God has brightened our eyes and granted us some of relief from slavery. And he reminds them, Lord, I remember being slaves. And I think what a great prayer that would be for us. You know, there were times when we were enslaved to sin. We were in bondage to that sin. We were in bondage. And there wasn't any one of us, church, that was born saved. Even if you were brought up in church, you weren't born saved. You were still a slave to sin. And he says, but here's the deliverance. God didn't forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia. And I mean, even that is a huge thing. Why? That God would move. Think about this, how God had extended mercy to them. This is almost unexplainable. You go, what do you mean? How he put in the Persian kings, and they suddenly decide to let them go. Oh, we know that it was 70 years. We know God decreed through the book of Jeremiah. We know that. They didn't know that. I mean, it was Daniel who was going, wait, Jeremiah wrote it's 70 years. Okay. And he was getting excited, but they saw God do an amazing thing supernaturally. And not only that, but it's like, you preserved all of the gold and the silver and the utensils that Nebuchadnezzar took. You kept, I know, I know Belshazzar got killed because nonetheless, and you let us take it back? Wow. Only God could do that. Only God could do that, guys. And so the only answer was that God put it in their hearts to do. And what Ezra is saying in essence is, God, you have done all of this to give us a new start. How can we fail you by sinning again? This is what he's saying. This is why, listen to me, church, we take our walks very seriously. This is why we go, okay, this is what God has done in all of our lives for us not to go out there and go, well, I'm going to go out anyway. I'm going to sin. No. He says, how could we do this? I'll tell you what it is, guys. There's something that happens when you sin. You feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit and quickly you go, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Whatever it might be. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. But when you continue to do it over time, your heart gets a little bit hard and then you're not so quick to ask for forgiveness. You know you're under the grace of God, but nonetheless, you're just like, and then all of a sudden you do it and it doesn't even bother you anymore. And that's when the enemy pulls you in. You see, there used to be a time when if you saw a naked woman on a magazine, you would blush. It would be like, I can't see that. Lord, sorry. And then you constantly, oh, Lord, forgive me. And then you keep doing it. And then all of a sudden, maybe it's full-blown pornography and it doesn't bother you anymore. And we could add anything in there. But I love the heart of Ezra where he says, God has done all of this. He saved us. He blessed us. He loved us. He gave us a brand new start, man. He set our feet from the miry clay on the solid rock. How could we do this? How could we go back to our old ways? I want to, Lord. And so he acknowledges that great deliverance, but now he's going to acknowledge, guys, the present sins. Verse 10 and 12, he says, and now, O God, for we have forsaken your commandments, which you commanded your servants, the prophets, saying, the land which you are entering to possess is an unclean land with uncleanness of the peoples of the lands, with their abominations, which they filled it from one end to the other with what? With their impurity. Now, therefore, do not give your daughters as wives for their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons, and never seek their peace or prosperity, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it as an inheritance for your children forever. What does he acknowledge? He says, man, listen, here's what we need to do. We need to confess these present sins. You told us right now this should be a place where the children of Israel should just confess. Lord, we're so sorry. But here's what I want you to see. Ezra offers no excuse. He doesn't say, well, we've been in Babylon. You know, we've been indoctrinated with that. Sorry, Lord, this is what happens. Of course, they're going to go, Lord, I'm so sorry. He doesn't offer an explanation. He says, we confess those things to you. We confess. Oh, what a beautiful picture that is for you and I. You go, what do you mean? Guys, when we mess up, when we sin, quickly, no excuses. I am so sorry. Please forgive me. Oh, I didn't realize that was happening. I am so sorry. No excuse. Well, you don't understand. I've been like this for 70 years. Well, you don't understand. Whatever excuse or an explanation. But quickly offer that sincere confession. You know, a lot of times you've heard the kid go, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. They're sorrowful, but they're not repentant. They're not confessing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No. It's more than being sorry. It's that repentance and going, Lord, I confess. This is wrong. This is wrong. Look at verse 13. After all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and our great guilt, since you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve and have given us such deliverance as this, should we again break your commandments and join in marriage with the people committing these abominations? Would you not be angry with us until you've consumed us so that there were no more remnant or survivor? Listen, Pastor Ezra realized as bad as the punishment was, the 70 years, all of that stuff, when they lost their homeland, no matter what, when they went into captivity, it was not as bad as they deserved. Honestly, they all deserved to die. And isn't that a beautiful picture of our salvation? Because what did we deserve? What did you really deserve? And Lord was so gracious to you. I mean, think of the consequences of the things that we've done and how he's turned those around and even made them beautiful. Lord, he says, look, your punishment, you punished us less than our iniquities deserve. And even today, guys, we have Jesus Christ now who takes our punishment. Last verse, Ezra's praying, oh, Lord God of Israel, you are righteous, for we are left as a remnant as it is this day. Here we are before you in our guilt, though no one can stand before you because of this. And here's what we need to unpack right here. He's acknowledging the righteousness of God. His righteousness was from generation to generation, but so was his mercy. There was no way they could stand and face God with these sins not atoned for. Now, there's a lot we can learn. So let's land this plane as we close. First and foremost, guys, let's take a good hard look at the heart of Jesus, how he loves us and what we deserve and what he was willing to do. Always remember the cross, the brutal scourging that Jesus took for us. We deserved so much of this. The Bible says the soul who sins shall die. We deserve death. We've sinned. No excuse. We don't go, well, it was Adam's fault. I was Eve's. It should have been, you know, they should have died and we should have. We're all part of it and we should have died. You guys know that. Even in your best righteousness before Christ, you were a sinner. And so we see the heart of Jesus and we say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Guys, sometimes the condition requires confession. And here's what I want to leave us with. Sometimes in our lives, even though we're fully devoted followers of God, it requires some confession. Maybe this is a time just to do some work with God, just to do some work with God and say, hey, Lord, I need to confess this. I need to repent. I'm not right. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for chapter 9 and Lord, calling us out not to be like the world, Lord, to separate ourselves from the world, to be different. Lord, the world serves itself. We're called to love and serve people. Father, we are an example to believers to live in purity and love and grace and mercy. Your word is truth, God. Thank you for the prayer of Ezra. Lord, tonight, my prayer is that there anyone here that's not, I mean, we might have come in with some junk. I pray that they would do work with you, that they would confess their sins, Lord. Even in the midst of the song, Lord, that we would be right with you. And we ask, Holy Spirit, if there's anything going on in our hearts, Lord, you have full permission so that we can be right here today and we can live righteous by the blood of Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio,
4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.